May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 527. Hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Our reading from God's word is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading verses 31 down to 62. Luke 22, verses 31 to 62. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise, his scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto Judas, unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, Shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down amongst them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." In about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Almighty and holy Lord God, help us now to pray and to venture near thy throne in the attitude of worship. Give us now hearts to worship thee aright. For we either worship thee from the heart or we do not worship thee at all. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, which bring us safely into thy house again. For the mercies of the open doors, for the open word of God, for the door open to thy throne of grace. For all the blessings which flow through Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. For our health and strength. For our homes, our loved ones, our possessions, our careers. All that we have. Help us, Lord, daily to be thankful unto thee for thy manifold mercies unto us and the kindnesses that thou dost show us continually, day by day. Help us to worship thee this day with heartfelt thanksgiving that thou art a kind and merciful and gracious God. We ask now that thou wouldst draw near and be the centre of our worship and of our gathering together. And although it is the morning hour of thy day, yet we desire the blessing that those on the Emmaus road knew. Pronounce upon us this day that peace from heaven. Show us thy hands and thy side and thy feet. And tell us, Lord, that thou didst suffer those wounds for us. And may unitedly our hearts this day burn with love to thee, our Lord and Saviour, our God and King. Bless thy word we have read together. Make it spirit and life unto us. Speak to us through thy word. And may this be a day that is profitable to our never dying souls. Bless this people. Be with them, Lord, as they worship here week by week. Bless the ministry of thy word in this place. May souls be born again under the ministry of thy word. And may those who already have been given life grow in knowledge of thee. May their faith grow in strength. May there be that increase in fruit, in grace. May there be more stability and a more nearness to thee. May there be that going on to know the Lord and that continuing in the way of faith. Bless this church. Surround it with thy loving care and tender mercy. help the deacons in the office that thou hast called them to, and especially in these troublous times when more is put upon them. Do grant them thy grace and strength and wisdom. And bless each member of this congregation, old and young and middle-aged. Bless the children in early in life, visit them with thy salvation. May they be privileged to walk early in life in thy company and to know the Lord. Bless those in the midst of life, with burdens and cares and busy scenes, and those at the end of the journey, with their burdens and their needs and their cares. Whatever stage we're at, this journey we are at, help us to look unto thee and give to us each that treasure in heaven. And may we be built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Remember our nation, and at this time grant wisdom to our rulers to know what to do. Teach them, Lord, to pray. Bring them to a knowledge of their personal sins and of the sins of this nation. Bring them to thy feet, begging for mercy. And may they hear the voice which thou hast sent. May they be made willing to turn course and bring the laws of this land back in accordance with thy word and thy will. And we pray, Lord, for those who have been struck down with this virus, those in hospital, those in their own homes, especially any of thy people amongst them, do draw near. Grant healing mercies where it is thy will. Grant the preparation for eternity where it is not. Help those who care for them and preserve them. And remember those who have been bereaved and comfort their hearts. And grant, gracious God, that we may all hear the voice that thou hast sent to be made ready for eternity, to be watchful, for in such an hour as ye think not shall the Son of Man come. We ask thee, Lord, to bless the provision of thy house this day, throughout our land and in other corners of the world. And if this should be the last Lord's Day, for a season that we are permitted to meet in thy houses, may it be a special day in Zion. May it be that the spiritual Jews have a good day in thy courts. And if it is thy sovereign will that we should again be restricted to our own homes, yet, Lord, may we know thy presence there. And especially when we worship, may Jesus himself draw near and go with us. And though, Lord, it may be again that we are scattered in our own homes, yet may we be united at the throne of grace. Keep, Lord, this people and other peoples together. Let not Satan gain any advantage. Keep thy people to thy house, to thy ways, and do draw in others to come and worship. Help us now as we turn to thy word. Bless it unto us. May we be with Jesus today. May we hear his voice. May we see his face. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest. The gospel's gracious call obey, and cast your gloomy fears away. Hymn 1109.
Turn with the Lord's help to the Gospel recorded by Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Here we have the Lord of life and glory. The very verge of his sufferings and death. But not so taken up with his own trouble to forget the needs of one of his disciples, nor to forget the needs of all his disciples, because the words of our text are not just true of Simon Peter, but they are true of all of us if we are favoured to have the same Saviour that Simon Peter knew. And we have in these verses a word of warning. A word of encouragement. And a word of command and exhortation. Which are applicable to us just as much as they were to Simon Peter all those years ago. The immediate context of these words are in response to the Lord, to Simon Peter, though it is not said in these verses, but if you read in the other gospel accounts, Simon Peter had just told the Lord that though the rest of the disciples might forsake him, he would never forsake him. This was the Lord's response. The Lord heard what Simon Peter said. And he responded accordingly and appropriately. And the Lord's words are always appropriate to the occasion. There's never a word out of place. There's never an unnecessary word. The Lord always knows just what to say. And the Lord has heard what you have said this morning. You have come to the Lord's house. Perhaps like Simon Peter, you have said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee to death. Perhaps like Simon Peter, you said to the Lord that you would never deny him or forsake him. Well, here is the Lord's response to you. We are so weak and feeble that unless the Lord keep us, we will fall. And if we are enabled not to deny the Lord, not to forsake him, and if necessary, suffer even unto death, as Peter eventually was, it is only because of the grace that the Lord gives to us. Therefore, the glory and honour goes to him and him alone. And therefore, we should ever remember our great need of the Lord's help. And the Lord said, "What a mercy it is that the Lord has spoken. Where would we be if the Lord had never spoken? After man had sinned in the Garden of Eden, what if the only words you'd spoken had been words of condemnation? Words of judgment. But the Lord has spoken other words to his people. Words of grace. Words of love. Words of pardon. Words of peace. Words of welcome. And here we have one of the marks of real religion. If your religion is real, the Lord will speak to you personally from time to time. Even though he may not say much, but he will say something. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There you have one of the marks of the sheep. Within their experiences from time to time, they have a mark like this, "And the Lord said." Even though it is sometimes a word of rebuke, it is still "the Lord has spoken." And even, child of God, when he rebukes you, that is as much a token of his love and favour than if he speaks a word of comfort. But if the Lord never speaks to you, if you've never had a "and the Lord said" in your life, what right have you to expect to hear the Lord say to you at the close of life, "Come, ye blessed of my Father"? If the Lord never speaks to you in mercy in this life, he will never speak to you in mercy the other side of the grave. If the Saviour is silent to you in life, he will be silent to you in eternity. Now, has he ever spoken? Ask the Lord to speak to you. And if he has spoken to you before, ask him to speak to you again. If you've never prayed before, it will be a good prayer to start. And you children, you are not too young to pray. God does not despise you. There are many of the Lord's people who are called, even in early childhood, to know the Lord. If you ask the Lord to speak to you, he will listen even to you. Equally, there may be one of you at the close of the journey of life, and this morning you are suddenly convicted that the Lord has never spoken to you and you've never asked him to speak. And maybe the devil is now saying to you, "It is too late." It is not. It's never too late, this side of the grave. You look at the dying thief. If he found mercy, why not you? Even at the very last stages of life, you are not forbidden from asking the Lord to speak to you in mercy. And the Lord said, Thou saidst, my sheep do hear my voice. Am I a sheep, Lord, of thy choice? Speak then, and bid my heart rejoice. Lord, speak to me. If it be thy will, I should wait for many years at mercy's gate, for Christ revealed to my poor heart, yet speak to me. Tell me I shall not wait in vain, that I thy blessing shall obtain. The Lord said, you know, whenever the Lord speaks, the person to who he is speaking to will listen. Sometimes the Lord may have to repeat himself, but his word will be heard. You may not like what he says necessarily. May not necessarily always be comfortable. But the Lord will not alter his word. Maybe the Lord has given you a command. And maybe he is keeping repeating that command. And you will keep repeating it until you are made willing to obey. And you know, beloved friends, the strongest faith, those who walk the closest, the Lord will only have to speak to them once. The Lord should not have to repeat himself when he gives us a command. One should be enough. Ask God to give you that faith which is so strong that you are enabled to discern his voice when he speaks the first time, and not only to discern it, but to be made willing to run immediately when he speaks in the way that he reveals you to go. Because in the keeping of his commands there is great reward, and in not keeping them there is great sorrow and trouble. And the Lord said, now what did the Lord say here? Simon. Simon. Let's not pass too quickly over these opening words, because there is teaching even in that. He called him by name. Of course, he knew his name. He knows your name and my name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Called him by name. The hymn takes it up, doesn't he? Dost thou ask me who I am? Ah, my Lord, thou knowest my name. Yet the question gives a plea to support my suit with thee. Thou didst once a wretch behold, in rebellion blindly bold, scorn thy grace, thy power defy. That poor rebel, Lord, was I once a sinner, near despair. Sought thy mercy seat by prayer. Mercy came and set him free. Lord, that mercy came to me. Simon, Simon. It got his attention. And that is what happens, isn't it, when someone calls our name. They want to get our attention before they go on to the main part of what they want to say. And the Lord, when he speaks to us, will have our full attention. Simon, Simon. But then he used here the word that Simon was born in, born with. He didn't say Peter. Although in verse 34 he does say Peter. It was to bring Simon Peter to realization that at this moment in time he was living and he was in the spirit that he was born in, the spirit of the flesh. Not the spirit of grace. It was to bring him to realize that, although he didn't realize it, he was in a backsliding condition. And he was actually behaving in a way like he used to behave before he had known the Lord's grace and mercy. Of course, it is a mercy, he goes on to call him Peter in verse 34. Yes, although he was backsliding, yet he still had known the Lord, and that did not reverse it. Even, child of God, you may be in a very backsliding condition this morning. But that does not reverse or nullify what the Lord has already done for you. Like Peter, he will look upon you. And he will bring you to repentance. And he will bring you back to a right relationship with him. And a right view of yourself and of your needs. Simon, Simon. But then, this is a word which says, Simon, I know all about you. Simon Peter had a past history. In some ways, a very colourful history. As a fisherman. And then as one of the chief spokesmen of the disciples. How ready he was to speak, as it were, on their behalf in the previous 3 years since he had known the Lord. It was Simon Peter who first confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. It was Simon Peter who walked on the waves to go to Jesus. It was Simon Peter who had said, Master, it is good for us to be here on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Simon Peter who, with a knowledge of his sin, when he first knew the Lord, had said, Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. He had a history. And the Lord knew that for all his faults, Simon had a deep and sincere love to him, a love which the Lord himself had given to him. He knew he was not like Judas Iscariot. And here is perhaps one of the major differences. Judas Iscariot sought opportunity to betray his master. He went out looking to commit the sin. And he watched for opportunities to commit the sin. Simon Peter never sought opportunity to deny his Lord. But then Simon Peter had a present pathway he was walking in, and the Lord knew all about that too. Better than Simon himself knew. He knew the danger that Simon Peter was in. He knew the great fall that Peter was about to commit. He could see the spirit that Peter was in was not in a right spirit at that time. He knew Simon Peter's condition far better than Simon knew it himself. But then Simon Peter had a future after this night. His religion did not end here. His faith was not shipwrecked. His discipleship was not over. He had a work to do for his Lord and Master, which is one of the reasons he was not permitted to go with him to death at that time. One, he was not ready, but two, his work wasn't done. The Lord had work for him to do here on earth, and you won't get to go to heaven until your work is done on earth first. And again, in the future pathway of Simon Peter, we see here the mercy and the love of the Saviour. It is only about 6 weeks after this event that on the day of Pentecost, when so many were blessed and added to the church, it was Simon Peter who preached on that occasion, and God attended that preaching with mighty blessing and power. Would we have selected Simon Peter to speak on that occasion if we had been there? So soon after he had so shamefully and openly and cowardly denied his Lord? We would probably have given it to somebody else, wouldn't we? But not the Lord. You see, the Lord forgives. Fully, completely, absolutely. And when Peter was brought to repentance, and he was brought to repentance this night, the Lord forgave him fully, completely, absolutely. And one of the tokens that he had forgiven him was that he gave Peter the honour and the responsibility of preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he blessed him. It wasn't that long before, in this very judgment hall where he denied his Lord, he was defending his Lord. After the man had been healed, which you can read in the Acts of the Apostles at the gate of the temple, and of how Simon Peter confidently in this very room said to them that he whom ye crucified is both Lord and Christ, and there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter was the first one to preach to the Gentiles of Christ. Later life, Peter was to be given that privilege of writing part of the Word of God. And the Lord knew, therefore, the history of Simon's life following this night of our text. And one of the reasons you read Peter's epistles, He emphasizes the need to watch and to pray. It's because he knew himself the cost of not watching and neglecting prayer. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, now the Lord knows your past. He knows your present pathway. And he knows the future yet to come, unknown unto you." He knows your sins. He knows your weaknesses and frailties. He knows your troubles and discouragements, your doubts, your fears, your tremblings. He knows whether or not you have a love for him, or whether you are a total stranger to him. He knows your needs, your burdens, your cares. And you can go to him and spread those needs before him, because the knowledge he has is not a hard knowledge. It's not an uncaring knowledge. Child of God, what did Peter say? And he proved it. And may it be a word for you this morning, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Casting. And if you are unable to do that, then it means that you will no longer bear it on your own. It means you'll be given the faith to leave it in his hands, for him to deal with it and for him to manage it. And it means you will prove that he does care for you. In love, in mercy, in compassion. He cared for Simon Peter so much that he was prepared to warn him, to rebuke him when necessary, but also to pray for him and to encourage him and to restore him. Does the hymn say, "What a friend we have in Jesus"? All our needs and cares to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And beloved friends, we would prove more of his faithfulness and more of his care if we cast more than we do upon him. Because we cast so little upon him. Is it a wonder, believer? Why have you been complaining this week? Is it because you have not cast your care upon him? He will be asked. He will be inquired of. Can you really complain if you have never asked him to manage a particular matter in the first place, if it then all goes wrong? Is there not a cause? Is there not a voice? The Lord delights to help his people, but he will have us ask. And so often we get needless trouble and trial because we do not ask in the first place. Prayer is our last resort instead of our first. And that is one of the things the Lord will teach you. That it shouldn't be the last resort, it should be the first. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, And so, whatever need you may be in this morning, whatever trouble you may be in, whatever discouragement, whatever trial, the throne of God's grace is open. His ear is open, he listens, and he answers. No matter how dark your pathway may be, that cannot prevent the Lord, the mighty God, from answering and from appearing on your behalf. You may be fearing the future, what this week is going to bring. But remember, the future is in his hand. And whatever this week does bring for you, remember this, that Jesus will still be on the throne. Jesus will still be almighty. Jesus will still be the friend of sinners. And he will still receive sinners and eat with them. And even though your pathway may get darker, before it gets lighter, the Lord has not lost the ability or the willingness to help you, to sustain you, to deliver you, to teach you, to have mercy upon you. One man once said, "I do not know what the future holds, but I know him who holds both the future and my soul in his hand." Rest there, child of God. Learn this lesson that whatever it may bring, none can nor will they pluck you from the strength of Israel's hands. Why? Because the almighty power and the almighty love and the almighty mercy of God is being used on your behalf. Why? Because there are more with you than are with them. Why? Because God has permitted that your trials and your troubles and those who are opposing you will be able to go so far but no further. Why? Because God has sent out that decree, "Touch not his life." Why? Because God has said of you, The Lord, the Saviour, in his work as an intercessor, has said of you, as he said to Simon Peter here, "But I have prayed for thee, even in this trial." Go back a little before this event, a few years perhaps, and you find those disciples on that lake in that storm. In the path of obedience, they'd been told to get into the ship and to go to the other side of the lake, and in obedience to his command, they had ventured forth. And they had come into a storm, a great storm. And they were toiling and rowing, we are told. We are told the Lord upon that mountain saw them toiling and rowing. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. The distance and the darkness prevented them from seeing him, but didn't prevent him from seeing them. And maybe you ventured forth in a particular path in obedience, and you had the Lord's clear direction in the matter. More than that, you had the promise you'd get to the other side. And to start with, it all went well, didn't it? But now suddenly the trial has come. The darkness has come. The storm has come. And instead of getting to the other side, you don't seem to be making any headway whatsoever. And it is a trial of faith, and it is testing you, and you're wondering, did you ever receive the word at all to go? And the Lord is tempting you to go back. You mustn't go back. The one thing those disciples did not do is they did not turn the boat round and go back. And had they done so, they would have been alone in that wilderness with no food or water without the Lord's presence. And if you go back, you will have more trouble than if you go forward. You've got to press on, not give up. It's the very thing the devil wants you to do. So why the trial, you say? Well, it's a test of your faith. And the Lord, for his sovereign purposes, tests our faith often. But it doesn't mean you mistook the way just because you've come into a darkness and trial. Go on. And you know, while they toiled, we are told the Lord prayed, and he prayed for them, and he prayed them right the way through that pathway until the time came for him to deliver them. And while you are toiling, although you cannot see it or feel it this morning, the Lord's praying for you, praying that you may be sustained, praying that you will endure, praying that you will not make shipwreck, praying that your faith will not fail. And if the Lord is surrounding you with his prayers, you are in the place of safety. Because your faith cannot fail while the Lord is praying for you. So the word of the Lord to you is this: go on. Go on in prayer. Yes, the Saviour is praying for you, but you must also pray for yourself. Pray for his help. Pray for his deliverance. Pray for him to reveal to you what he has designed to teach you in this trial. Pray that he will get honour and glory to his name. Pray that you will come to know more of him and be drawn closer to him in it. And then pray that he will bring you out and do as he has said and fulfil the promise he gave to you in the first place. So you go on in the path of obedience this morning. Go on keeping his command, however hard it may seem. Do not go back. Do not give up. Do not give in. Because if you do, you will eventually have to walk in the path of obedience. And you will know a lot more suffering than if you carried on. You aren't going to sink to the bottom. You are going to get to the other side in his time and in his way. But it's going to be a lot different to what you thought. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. Well, we seem to have rather strayed from the subject, don't we? So you must forgive that. And if the Lord will, we will perhaps get a little further in this word tonight. But may the Lord give to you and to me hearing ears to hear his voice, and having heard it, to go in the pathway which he has set before us. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, and this will then be followed by a church meeting. Please note that the prayer meeting will be on Zoom, but not on Mixlr. And on Tuesday evening, God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach. And next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30, and there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9:00. And in the light of the government announcement, of course, we're sorry to have to announce that it will only probably only be online. There will be no service here in the chapel. May the Lord be pleased to restore it to us. Let us now close with hymn 187. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his power to fall. Hymn 187.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest, remain, and rule over us now and forever. Amen.